My name is Mike Morgan.
The title of our message is Wise Counsel for All Ages. Our text, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 12 and 13. It is a fact that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. How could this be if man was created in the image of God? What is it about man's understanding that is flawed? Why does he need help to distinguish between good and evil? Although man was created in the image of God, he does not share all of the attributes of God. God is omniscient, omniscience. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Hebrews 4, verse 13. Whereas God knows the beginning from the end, man cannot see into the future. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. James chapter 4, verse 13. From the beginning of time, man has had to be told what to do. After creation, God told man to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Man had no clue what to do in the garden. Therefore, God told him to tend it and warned him about eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Without God's instructions, man would be in the dark. Man was created a free moral agent with the ability to choose who he will serve. The Old Testament gives example after example of men and women who chose to obey or disobey God's commandments. Without fail, those who faithfully obeyed God were blessed, and those who, for whatever reason, chose to disobey God were punished. During his earthly ministry, Jesus commended the centurion, the woman from Canaan, the woman with the issue of blood, and the one leper who returned for their faith and obedience. If Jesus returned today, would he commend our faith and obedience? One day we will stand before God in judgment. At that time, we must have his commendation. In the year 2014 and beyond, where do we go for instruction on godly living? Answer, the Bible. We live in a world that cares very little about God, and in many instances is anti-God. Unless we understand the importance of building spiritual principles into our lives, we will be lost. This morning, we will learn some lessons from the book of Ecclesiastes that will help us to avoid the mistakes that King Solomon made. Ecclesiastes is a fascinating book. Many feel it is one of the most puzzling books in the Old Testament. It is even quoted by those who deny that man has a soul which continues after death. As with all Old Testament scripture, Ecclesiastes was written for our learning. Romans 15, verse 4. For our admonition, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. And for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. A key word is vanity, which means futility, uselessness, nothingness. A key phrase in the book of Ecclesiastes is under the sun, which suggests from an earthly point of view. The book illustrates the importance of serving God throughout life. In this book, we find statements that prod our thinking and exhortations that provide stability and direction for living. Before Solomon became king of Israel, he realized the great responsibility on his shoulders, and he prayed for wisdom and knowledge. 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, and that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord. God gave Solomon wisdom and knowledge to direct the nation. Because he did not ask for material things, God gave him both riches and honor, so that there was none like him among the kings of the earth. Tragically, Solomon set aside heavenly wisdom to conduct a social experiment. He followed the advice of the world in his pursuit of happiness. Well, why would we want to listen to someone like that? Because through it all, he was guided by wisdom. When he understood an action would not bring happiness, he admitted it and ceased his destructive behavior. Let's turn our attention now to Solomon's wise counsel for all ages. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" One commentator said, "Youth is the best time for religious consideration and decision. In old age, little heart and little ability are left for the weighty matters of eternity. Oh, that young people would beware of delay and forever renounce the idea that advanced years are favorable to conversion. No tree is so easily bent as the green sapling." Remember now your Creator. Underscore the word now. A young person once said, "Party hard, make mistakes, laugh endlessly, do things you're afraid to do. After all, you are only young once." Satan tells our young people, "You have plenty of time for religion. Enjoy life. Let your hair down. Live for the moment." And sure enough, we have a generation of young people throwing caution to the wind. Serving God is not just for the elderly. Great men of God like Joseph, Samuel, David, Solomon, Josiah, and Daniel served God from their youth. Jesus provides the proper example as well. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Timothy, who had known the Scriptures from childhood, was to be an example to others. Serving God in our youth will help us to avoid many of the things that bring sorrow and prepare us for the days of darkness that will come. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. One of the times to enjoy life is in youth. Yet how many young people want to hurry up and grow old? Oh, can't wait to get to be 18 or 21 when I can do what I want to do. I thought that life would be at its best when I reached 21. And in the blink of an eye, I'm 58 years old. One of the reasons I left home was because my mom started to charge me for staying there. I recently found out it was $30 a month. Such a deal. My advice to young people is to enjoy your time with your parents before the mail comes addressed to you. But there's more to that verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Being young is a wonderful time of life, but it does not mean that we are carefree. Youthful vigor does not mean that God will overlook wrong decisions and say that sin does not matter. Early in life, we need to guard our actions, thoughts, and words, because one day we will stand before God and give an account of the things done in the body. How important is it to remember that today, right now, we are responsible to God? Think about Ananias and Sapphira, who did not have the opportunity to repent of sin. Think about standing on the verge of eternity, with sin cherished in the heart, without the opportunity to say, God, I am sorry. Please forgive my sins. Not everyone has the opportunity to correct the wrongs that are in their lives, but we do because God has granted us another day of life. Solomon sought to find happiness in wealth. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 through 13. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit has the owner except to see them with his eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. There is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun, riches kept for their owner to his hurt. Riches are vanity for three reasons. First, they are unable to truly satisfy. As they increase, so their desire for more will increase. Second, riches are here today and gone tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. And third, those obsessed with riches are hurt by them. While a laboring man enjoys sweet sleep, the abundance of the rich provide too much turmoil for a restful sleep. Through misfortune, or eventually through death, one loses their riches. What value then are riches, if in the acquisition of them one must endure much sorrow, sickness, and anger? Solomon said, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. If we could gain all that this world has to offer, and there is an absence of righteousness in our lives, we will never know what happiness is. Well, how do you know that, preacher? God will see to it. Remember the rich man who said he would tear down his barns and build bigger? He made this very mistake. If God had let him live and build those barns, his life would have been void and empty. Remember the man that came to Jesus and asked, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." Here was a rich young person possessing tremendous wealth with his whole life ahead of him. He lacked the willingness to let go and let God. Jesus has not asked us to sell our possessions and follow him over the Palestinian hills. He has asked us to deny ourselves and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Will we obey or walk away? Solomon sought to find happiness in wisdom, madness, and folly. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 12 says, "Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done." After reflecting upon wisdom, Solomon concluded that wisdom was better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise man has eyes and uses them. Solomon realized his need to walk soberly and notice what was going on in life. The fool walks in darkness. He's in a fog. Solomon said, "Both the wise and the fool will die." It doesn't matter how much education we may gain. There will come a day when you and I will die just like the man in the deepest, darkest part of Africa who has never seen the inside of a book. He will be beaten with few stripes because of his lack of opportunity. We will be beaten with many stripes because free Bibles are available. What good is life when it is built around education without a working knowledge of God's Word? Wisdom will not stop death, and all will have the same fate. Therefore, wisdom is not the solution to the problems of life. Solomon sought happiness in worldly pleasure. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "I said in my heart, 'Come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure.' But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, 'Madness,' and of mirth, 'What does it accomplish?' I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold of folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their life." Solomon is trying to think of all of the sensual pleasures that life has to offer, and is intending to experience them all. He is going to blitz himself with pleasure. He's going to enjoy himself. He seems to know, however, the outcome before he even begins. It will be vanity. Of laughter, Solomon concludes that it is madness. It gets old after a while. Pleasure accomplishes nothing. It does not change or improve anything, and it certainly does not answer any of life's puzzling questions. Solomon experimented with wine while guiding his heart with wisdom. Apparently, there was not much wine consumed. The mind is the first to go when you drink. The mind cannot guide a person with wisdom after the consumption of liquor. Oh, preacher, I could drink a six-pack and it wouldn't affect me. Well, sure you could. By the way, do you think that Solomon would endorse the disclaimer, drink responsibly? I think Solomon would say that social drinking is a sin and must be avoided at all cost. Speaking of pleasure, what would Solomon say about marriage, the family, and the home? Have you ever thought about how many professing Christians will use the holiday season to enjoy themselves and forsake the assembly? Most people do not need a holiday weekend to indulge in pleasure and not darken the doors of the church building. According to Scripture, a sign of perilous times is when men become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. How serious. Satan wants us to believe that life is one big party, but the Bible exposes that lie. We live in a day and age where respect for God is being discarded on every side. One sign of that is 24-hour TV. The glorification of sinful behavior that is against nature. Almost every program has to include such a couple. The filthy language that is used, the mockery and laughter about God, the Bible, and religion in general is commonplace. Even so-called family channels glorify sin, ungodliness, and unrighteousness. How important is it to build righteous principles in our lives and not get caught up in the things of this world? Solomon summarizes his worldly search for pleasure this way. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. This is in the right order. People who do not fear God will not keep His commandments. This is man's reason for being, his primary directive for his existence. To fear God, that is, to revere, respect, and love God, to hold Him in awe. This is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the fool despises wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This reverence will help prolong life and protect the Christian from much evil. Solomon said, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. Fear God and keep His commandments. Moses charged the nation of Israel to keep God's commandments. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4, chapter 30, verse 16. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Faithful obedience to God's word is the basis by which we know that we love God. Why should we fear God and keep His commandments? Because there will be a payday someday. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. To reverently obey God, walking in the fear of the Lord is the purpose of life and the key to true happiness. Let us end our time together with this last bit of wise counsel. Psalm chapter 112. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he deceives his desire upon the enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desires of the wicked shall perish.